Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another hour of Tribal Wisdom. I'm your host, Cynthia Williamston, and happy Wedding Wednesday. As always, it's always great to be with you on a Wednesday night at 9:30, ready to discuss all kinds of topics pertaining to love, weddings, and marriage. As you know, of course, it is Women's History Month, and we are still celebrating Women's History Month by having speakers on every week that talk on different topics that empower women. If you were listening last week, we had Ty on the show, and she was discussing women in business and starting a business and a few other tips, which we left inside the event. And we do know that you enjoyed it based on the responses that we keep receiving on Blog Talk Radio as well as on Facebook. So again, the name of that show last week, if you haven't listened to it, is Start a Business Without Quitting Your Job. The link is in the event. Please feel free to listen to it. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio, if you will. And let's get ready for tonight's show. Tonight, I have the absolute pleasure of interviewing professional coach Cheryl Pullins, who is going to give us wonderful advice on marketing and mindsets and much, much more. So I will not hold you up. Let's get right into it, and let's bring her in. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Cynthia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited and looking forward to it.
Yay. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us who you are and exactly what it is that you do.
Okay, so my name is Cheryl Pullins. I'm the founder of iCoachWomen.com. And what I do as a professional, certified professional coach is that I help women that have big dreams get real results. And we do that by talking about some of the things we're going to cover tonight, which is your mindset, you know, how you think about you and yourself, the marketing tools and tactics that you can use to help expand and amplify your brand, and also building your brand. Mm-hmm. And you're going to hear me talk a little bit about that because that's going to kind of a part of my new book that's coming out.
Yay.
And I do this, I do this through coaching. I do it through speaking across the nation to women that have big dreams and helping them get those dreams to become a reality with real, true results.
Nice. Very nice. I like that you said that we're talking to women who have big dreams so that we can automatically identify who should be listening to this show. I'm so glad that you said that. So women with big dreams, you know what, in fact, let me just pause for a second and say if you are listening by computer and you want to call in to have any comments or ask any questions, the telephone number is 347-996-3160. Press number 1 to let us know that you have a question or a comment, and we will bring you right in. If you prefer to talk with us and chat with us on Facebook, feel free to do that also. We'll take your questions. I will definitely field them over to Cheryl, and let's have a good show. All right. We had a wonderful, wonderful conversation the other night about, I think we started talking about marketing strategies.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that where we were going to begin?
Let's see, where we're going to begin. we can start there. That's a great place to start.
Okay. At first, you know what? Now I remember what we said. We wanted to talk about starting the business and the importance of choosing its structure, I believe.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So this is in terms of, this is what I know. In working with many women entrepreneurs, you know, I encounter them with, and like I said, they have big dreams, they have big ideas, they have very lofty goals, and they have a passion about what it is they want to do. The reason why we go into business is because we're passionate about what we want to do, how we want to show up and serve in the world.
Mm-hmm.
We are not so keen a lot of times on building a foundation upon which that business can grow, can be built and can be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the places where I start with is talking about the structure of your organization, of your business, the structure. Is it, and I am not, I'll always say I'm not a tax professional, this is not legal advice, but this is, because you can have the conversation as to whether or not you're going to be a sole proprietor, if you're going to be an LLC, or if you're going to have an S-Corp, or, you know, if you're going to have a C-Corp, what your structure is. I always tell there are two people that you should have counsel with, and they are a lawyer, someone that understands business structure, mm-hmm. and a financial person. Because those are the two people that can really tell you for real, you know, what the best entity is for you to create your business under. So that is a place you really want to start. You want to look at, what structure is going to be a good fit
mm-hmm.
for you in your business. And, mm-hmm. you know, I know people go on. I mean, you can go to LegalZoom. You could go to Rocket Lawyer. You can go to a number of those sites where, you know, you can potentially get some inexpensive advice as well if you don't know where to start. But those are two reputable places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of people that use Rocket Lawyer.
Right.
And, so those are two places that you can go for your structure. This
mm-hmm.
is purely about the structure. And when we talk about structure, we're really talking about tax structure.
Yes, yes.
So that's really what it boils down to, you know,
about how much money
Uncle Sam is going to get his money
exactly.
through your business.
Exactly. That is the most plain way,
right.
way that I've heard it described. You know, because when we're in school, they try to, you know, add so many different definitions and why we have to choose it and what's going to be best for, is it a sole
mm-hmm.
proprietorship and all the different things. But you have said it best when you say, we are just trying to figure out the best way for Uncle Sam to get his money.
Right.
That is what they should have told me in school.
Because that really is what it boils down to. You know, and depending upon which structure you choose determines, you know, how your assets are protected and, you know, how you're taxed and those things. So, but, yeah. But that's it in a nutshell.
mm-hmm. All right. So, we're talking about the structure, and of course, as we all know, it's important to have your lawyer, your accountant, and what was the other person? There was a third person.
You know, it was just your lawyer, to have a lawyer, a business lawyer, and an accountant. Those were the only two people that I mentioned.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you want to have some other people, but when you're getting started, those are really your cornerstone people that you need
mm-hmm.
to have to help make that structured decision.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Truth. Much truth. All right. So now that we've schooled them about making sure that the business structure is in place, we want to run right on over to marketing strategies. Because that is really the biggest part. You know, all that other stuff that we learned. And this is going to be like a short but very intense lesson in business if you want to really make your big dreams happen. So marketing strategy is usually the biggest part, no matter what anybody else says, about making your big dreams happen.
Yes, marketing really is a vehicle that helps you to enlarge your territory, that helps to give you that visibility, mm-hmm. that helps to spread the word about you and your business, you know, about what it is that you're doing in terms of your business and how you can amplify your voice. And that's really, you know, marketing is used for that vehicle. When I work with women entrepreneurs and helping them with their businesses, and we get to talking about marketing, and I ask them, okay, what have you been doing to market your business? You know, I tell you it has to be 8 times out of 10
mm-hmm.
at least they'll say, well, I have a Facebook page
right.
or I use Facebook.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is Facebook is not a marketing strategy. It's a marketing tool.
Mm-hmm. So
okay.
Saying that lets me know right now that we are telling our listeners to please be aware of the difference between a marketing strategy and a marketing tool. School us,
yes.
Cheryl. School us.
Yes. Yes, because it is. It's a tool. Mm-hmm. It's a tool that you use that's a part of an overall strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you look at strategy from a high level, your strategy is going to say, okay, I'm going to, you know, market my business. I'm going to, you know, be out there and getting the word out about what I do and how I serve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then it's like, okay, well, how am I going to do that? Well, how you're going to do it is you're going to use online marketing. You're going to use offline marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so if you look at the online marketing, okay, what online tools can I use to gain visibility? Well, Facebook is just one of those tools. So when you really start at the higher level, you realize just how far, you know, this idea of Facebook is.
Right.
You know, it really isn't where you start your strategy. You have to start your strategy at a higher level. There's certain questions you have to ask. You know, who are my people? Where are my peeps at? Where are they congregating? Where are they hanging out?
Right.
Then that's going to determine whether or not you even show up on Facebook the way you think you should.
I won't even get into that. That's right.
Right.
There's something to, like, actually go to church with and say.
Because what we've been doing is, and you hear people say it, we've been taking this wad of spaghetti, tossing it on the wall, and hoping and praying, you know, that it sticks somewhere and that we're going to get results. And we don't. We don't get results that way, because we're just, we're kind of out there just going, because everybody's saying you need to be on Facebook, then we run to Facebook, and then we inundate Facebook, you know, with our business and things. And then we sit and wonder why we're not getting the results that we really desire.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we walk into it with a very, kind of a partial vision, if you will. We haven't scoped the whole thing to say, okay, you know what, this is the business I have, and these are the people I serve. Now let me go find out where they are. Oh, you know what? Yeah, I get some traction on Facebook, but also I get a lot of traction over on Twitter. Or, you know, if I'm targeting corporate entities, then I need to go over to LinkedIn, or maybe I need to go into forums. You know, so there's so many other places that we could potentially go.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook cannot be your only tool that you use. It can't be.
Right.
I guarantee you, for a lot of people, it hasn't proven to be the end all to be all, because it's not. Yes, you can use it. Yes, you can gain visibility. Yes, you can make money off of it. But it's not the only tool.
All right, so that means we need to spend time on our marketing strategies so that we know how to use each marketing tool.
Absolutely.
At the right time. I love
Absolutely.
It. Love it.
Absolutely.
Love it. All right, so we touched a little bit on marketing. Let's talk about, let's define branding, and let's, you know, do like a, what's the difference between the marketing and the branding? How do they come together? How are they apart?
So if you know the original definition of branding,
mm-hmm.
Branding had to do with cattle, and it had to do with the ways that the ranch handlers or the cowboys or whoever, how they identified their cattle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because out on the open range, a cow is a cow is a cow, unless they have this brand on them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about branding and your business, branding really is, one, it's delivering on this promise that you make. I love, when I talk about branding, I love talking about Coca-Cola because it is the number one global brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about it from the standpoint of they've been talking about creating happiness as far as I can remember, back in the early 70s.
Wow.
Their brand promise has always been about, you know, the happiness, the thing that you feel when you drink a Coke.
Right.
I don't know how old you are, but I remember the song, "I Like to Teach the World to Sing."
Yes, yes, I remember.
Perfect harmony, you understand?
Yes.
That goes back, all the way back to the 70s. Here we are, you know, all these years later, you know, here I'm still remembering that song, and you're still talking about open happiness.
Yeah, it's true.
And so what they've done. Mm-hmm.
I just remember that the main thing that I remember from that song is that it's the real thing. So we always thought that it's the real thing was the tagline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it's the real thing, but it's really been about,
happiness.
You know, create when it's been about happiness. Because if you remember in the commercial, yes, they were singing about Coke being the real thing, mm-hmm. but they were swaying. They
yep.
were, you know, they had their, I think they had the flash, I mean, the lighters going,
yes.
you know, teaching the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like
yep.
to buy the world a Coke.
Yeah.
Keep it company. I mean, it's right. So they're talking about me. We are being happy.
Yeah, creating
and,
a feeling.
Yeah. So when you think about your brand, you think about what promise are you going to deliver that is going to burn in the minds of people to the point where every time they encounter your logo, every time they encounter any of your touch points, that, one, they know that you're going to deliver on what you say, and two, it's going to elicit an emotion from them to the point where you're going to have, you know, people lined up for your product. I mean, come on, we see it with Apple. We've seen it. You know, Apple,
yeah,
their promise.
Every single time.
Every time.
Every time.
Their promise is innovation. That's what they promised on. That's what they've been delivering on.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time, and they've created their own army of, you know, evangelists, brand evangelists, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it. I've been talking about the Apple brand for a very long time,
right?
Because every time I've gotten one of their devices, you know, I've loved it. Nothing has touched their innovation until recently with Samsung, but anyway, that's another story. But in terms of, I just wanted to use those examples. When we talk about brand, I mean, as an example, we know if you say something about the iPhone or the iPad, that's going to elicit some kind of emotion. And it might not always be, you know, I love it. It might be, I really don't like that product. I mean, it could go either way.
Right.
But in terms of your promise, your brand is delivering on the promise, and your promise is whatever it is you're delivering. You know, my brand promise is, you know, about providing results, about working with me and you getting results. That's my promise to you, that you're going to get results. You know, for some other people in their industries, whatever their promise, I mean, we're familiar with Nike, you know, their whole brand is a swoosh, you know. And
yeah,
like, you
just
know,
do
like,
it.
Just do it.
Yeah, do
you know,
it.
Just do it. Don't teeter on it. So in terms of branding, you know, brand messaging is very important because you want it to be very cohesive. You know, you want your brand messaging to be very cohesive, and you want it to amplify your promise.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the marketing part comes in, because marketing really is just amplifying that promise. Marketing is putting the ears to the ground and finding out, or, you know, it's putting your ears to the ground and listening to the people you serve. Marketing is like a dance. It's like a two-way conversation. It's probably a better way to explain it. It's like a two-way conversation. You know, you market your product out there, and then you listen to the marketplace to see what they say back to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you market a product. And you put it out there and, you know, say you might just test it. A lot of companies test products. Pepsi is very good at testing products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll test a new soda product in a minute.
Yes.
So they put it out there. Why? Because I think they just put a new one out there. So they put it out there, they market it, and then they listen to what the market has to say.
Right.
And if the market doesn't like it, then they don't go any further with it.
Right. They only say, oh, this is like a limited time offer unless they get a big response to it, because I remember Pepsi Clear, even though I'm not a soda
mm-hmm.
drinker, but
mm-hmm.
I do remember when
mm-hmm.
Pepsi Clear
mm-hmm.
came out and everyone was
exactly.
going gaga, and I was like, really? But it's clear. You may as well just drink Sprite.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it's like, how do you even do that? How do you
right.
even do that and call it Coca-Cola or
Pepsi-Cola? Right,
anyway.
Or call it a
Cola.
Right, just call it a Cola. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
now they
like,
have
huh?
a is it Pepsi Zero or something? Now they're, you know, they're working toward individuals who are weight conscious.
I think it's Pepsi something. I just saw a commercial the other day for our new Pepsi soda that I had never seen before. Right. So they do this, but that's that part of marketing where you're marketing your product, you're putting it out there, you know, and you are actively listening to the marketplace. You're
mm-hmm.
listening to whether or not to see if they receive it, if they love it, if they're confused by it.
Right.
You know, because a lot of us, especially our solo entrepreneurs, a lot of times we put out marketing, we put out products and we market those products, and our market is so confused about what we're saying, or they can't see themselves and what's being said, they do nothing.
You know what? I really have to stop you right there, and let's kind of say that again, that we can't afford to be confusing our market with about our product.
No, you can't. You can't afford that, because a confused mind doesn't buy. A confused mind doesn't take action. So rather than try to figure out what it is you're really saying or what it is you're really selling, they won't do anything.
I'm sorry. I'm writing down what you said. A confused mind does not buy. A confused mind does not take action. And mm-hmm. if you want people to take action in participating in your business, then as you said, you can't step out with a partial vision on marketing and branding. You have to really map it out.
You really do. You mm-hmm. have to map it out. And you have to be very, very clear about what you offer. You know, there are three questions I always ask people. Who you serve? Well, actually, I start with another question. You know, what it is you're delivering? What are you delivering? Mm-hmm. What it is that you want people to know you for? Who do you want to know you? Who are you serving? Who is your market? Who are you talking to? And how? Mm-hmm. How are you going to serve them? You have to be very clear about those things. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you are not clear, then your communication is not clear, your marketing is not clear, you know, your people get confused about, you know, okay, are you, I mean, and I'm going to guess they're probably wedding planners that listen to the show. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, are you a wedding planner or an event planner, you know, or are you selling, you know, are you a part of the multi-level marketing and that's what you're selling? Are mm-hmm. you selling this over here? It's like, you know, and I see this a lot. You know, I see this grand confusion. And I'm not saying that you can't even do all those things. I'm just saying you have to present a clear, cohesive message. You know, if you're the brand and then you represent all, I mean, you look at Oprah. She's the greatest example of this. You know, yes, she has more than one entity. Yes, she does. You know, she has her magazine. She has her, now she has her network. She had her television show. You know, she had her movie production house. Yes, she had all these multiple streams, but she was known as Oprah the brand.
Right.
You know, you never got confused when you heard about something she was doing. Because mm-hmm. it was tied into her brand, and her messaging was just so. You know, so, you know, when you are doing your marketing and you are, you know, presenting your product or presenting yourself as a brand or whatever, you have to be clear. You have to be very clear about what it is you're presenting. Your communication has to be compelling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I like what you just said and how you ended it. I want you to say what you said before about what's the difference between marketing and branding. Branding, you said, is delivering on the promise you make. And what would you say marketing is?
Marketing is really, I refer to it as a dance, but in terms of the difference between branding, is marketing really amplifies your promise. It gives voice and presence to your promise. You're out there in the marketplace saying, I have this, and I'm promising it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vehicle you use for marketing.
Okay. So we touched on marketing versus branding, the difference between marketing and branding. And you did say offline and online. Let's touch on the difference between marketing and branding online and offline, because you say everyone is just pushing the online branding and the online marketing.
Mm-hmm,
how important
mm-hmm.
is it for us to remember that offline branding is significantly important?
Oh, it is vital.
Mm-hmm.
It's vital. Networking is a part of offline marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up at events, you know, letting people experience you, letting people interact with you. Everything doesn't have to happen online.
Mm-hmm.
people need to, you know, I always tell people when I work with them, you can't be, a global superstar if you're not locally known.
Wow. Mm.
And as you're starting out and you're making your way, you need to be locally known. I mean, when you think about Oprah, and I just like using her as an example because she's a great example, but when you think about Oprah was locally known in her, TV station markets long before she was known on the global stage.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be locally known. People need to see you. You need to show up, at events, you need to show up at, business-related events, social events. People need to experience you because a lot of times that's also how they make their decisions, because they've experienced you, they've encountered you. Now when they see your marketing comm or they see, information you're sending online, it's a much easier decision because they've encountered you, they've experienced you.
That is so important to me because I know that I personally have turned into a hermit where I didn't used to be. And I do have friends who keep saying, you really need to come out. You need to come out to this event. You need to come out to this, this screening. And I'm like, oh, I really have to just, get on the computer and take care of this and take care of that. So to have 80% online marketing and 20% offline marketing, it will not really net the results that you're looking for.
Not in certain areas, and in particular, like for me, for example, speaking is a very large part of what I do, very mm-hmm. large part. And people, I need to go out and interact with people. People need to experience me. They need to see how I am before they want to invite me to speak on their stage, to speak at their event, to talk
right.
to their community of people. Mm-hmm. And once I started getting out of the house and I started going to events and showing up, and people ask me what I did, and I say, I'm a speaker, I'm a coach, I'm a trainer, that kind of thing. And, and then they see me maybe once or twice, and then, they've looked at my website, and, they've done their due diligence, And so the invitation then is easier for
mm-hmm.
them to extend to me and say, we want you to come and be a speaker at our event. So, a lot of times we're hiding in the house.
We are.
We're hiding behind the computer.
You're right.
And I know that that's some mindset stuff. I know that that's some deeper stuff. It's not. I know that. Mm-hmm.
All right.
I hear you laugh.
Yeah, we're going to
mm-hmm.
get into that later. Stop it.
Yeah.
You're making me nervous now.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, but before we get to the whole mindset, because I can't wait to hear what you say about that part, but before we get to that, when you say offline marketing, people need to experience you, can you talk about the importance of how they experience you, meaning your presence, your presentation, the way you speak, the way you dress? That wasn't something we didn't plan on talking about this, but just by the way that you mentioned it, I'm like, wow, this needs to be said. Let's talk on that point for just a moment.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you're bringing that up, because when I talk about, people letting people experience you, you touched on exactly the very things that I'm referring to. I'm referring to, how you show up and present yourself, how you walk through the door. Because that's the first impression, that's going to set the tone really for how they're going to receive you and experience you. So if you walk in the door confident, if you walk in the door presented in a way that it's kind of like, wow, she's powerful, then that's the message people are going to get, and that's how you're going to be received. If you walk in the door looking like you are uncertain about yourself, whether or not you should be there, if you're if you lack confidence and it shows, if you don't show up, dressed the part, like you're serious about your business, then you're going to get a very different type of reception and different type of outcome.
Right.
In terms of that's the initial experience. Then there's that interaction. That's them, you talking to people. It's not you sitting in a corner waiting for people to come to you. It's you talking to people, you being so confident and being very connected to and well-versed on who you are and how you show up and serve in the world. that when people are asked, you're not trying to figure it out, you're not fumbling, you're not doing the pregnant pause, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You are really, you know, you're very confident about who you are. That's undeniable. When people experience that from you, that's something they can't deny. And they instantly, usually, want to be a part of that, or they want you to be a part of something you're doing, or it creates this experience where they want more of you, and that's what you want. That's what you want.
I have to tell you that I feel like you are in my business diary, and I don't appreciate it. I'm going to start calling you Cheryl in my business without knowing me pulling.
Oh, yeah. I love when that happens.
I'm like, why did I have this lady on my show? Because now, you know, I feel convicted. This show was supposed to be for somebody else, and now, you know, I feel like I'm being, like, naked, laid naked in front of everyone.
But you know what? It's okay.
It's okay
because you can't correct what you don't confront, and you can't improve what you don't identify. You know. So
okay.
It's okay.
Need some tea. I should have brought some tea to the table like I normally do. Next time I will not forget my tea. Normally I have it here, at least water, because I'm like sweating now. I'm like, oh man, she's just talking about me.
Wow.
I can't wait to share these in the event and tag you. I'm tagging you now as we are on the air, and I'm certain that everyone is getting something out of this show today. Again, if you have any questions, the number 347-996-3160. We are on with a very powerful speaker. Cheryl Pullen, and if she's convicting me, I can only imagine what's happening out in what's happening out there. I have to like go home keep, later on after I hang up. I got to forgive myself and then start over. So.
Wow! It's okay. It's all right.
So we've got online and offline strategies and the importance of presenting yourself. And then when you speak on networking, because you did just touch on networking a little bit, what is the difference between the way people were networking in the past, how they're networking now, and the difference between networking versus relationship networking?
That's really good. I actually just a couple weeks ago spoke, I'm not sure if you're familiar with George Frazier and FrazierNet. I spoke at one of his events here in Maryland, and which was an honor and a privilege because he's known as like the father of networking. And I talked about this idea of building relationships and relationship, networking.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me.
No, take your time because I need to get over some of the stuff.
I got this little pickle in my throat. Like, give me some water. I take a swig of water. I should be all right.
Go ahead. I need a slight break. I'll take a 2-second break too, and make my notes and get myself together and tell our listeners, please. If you did not start the show by taking notes, I know that you are running for your pens and paper right now, because she is really imparting a lot of wisdom here, and hopefully changing business lives of our listeners.
Okay. Wonderful. Wonderful. So I talked about, you know, this relationship building and building powerful relationships and networking. And it is. It's very different from the way I think we used to do networking. You know, it used to be you show up at an event, you know, you hand out your business cards to everybody, even when they don't ask for them, or you put them in people's chairs, or you put them on the table, or, you know, whatever it is we do, we walk up and just immediately hand someone our business card. But, pardon me, it really is a different landscape now. It really is different in the sense that we're building relationships. Mm-hmm. We're building collaborations, we're building partnerships, we're building strategic alliances. So it's no longer just you go to a networking event, you show up, you hand somebody your business card. Mm-hmm. Now it's you have a conversation. You talk
yes.
to them. And you have a real, and it's not, you know, it's not buy my stuff, buy my stuff, buy my stuff. It's I want to get to know you. I want to get to know you as an individual. I want to get to know, learn about you, your family, your life, the things that you love to do. You know, I want to know those things because all of that goes into what we call the likability factor, and we know that people do business with who they know, like, and trust.
Right.
Well, I can't get to the know, like, and trust if all you do is shove a business card in my face.
Mm.
And potentially keep walking sometimes because we've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. You know, people, I just want to give you my business card. It's
right.
like, okay, all right, and now what, you know? But you want to have an engaging conversation. You want to build that relationship. You want to have a communication. Invite people out for coffee, in particular if you think that there's some connection really going on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make time to build relationships. Make time to get to know people. Make time to, you know, find out how you can serve them. Because
mm-hmm.
in your service to them, you never know what opportunities that will open up for you. You don't know who people are connected to. And we go in. This is another thing about the networking we've done in the past. We've gone into networking events with a very transactional mindset. What do I mean when I say that? We want to get that one sale. We want them to buy our stuff. But if we build a relationship with them, instead of making it about that one transaction, if we build a relationship, then we get their whole network of people that they would be willing to make available to us because you've built a relationship with them. It's a very, very different perspective. It's a shift. It's a very different way of looking at networking. You're no longer showing up as the desperate, hungry person trying to make a sale.
Mm-hmm.
Now you show up as someone who wants to build relationships, make connections, potentially have collaborations, and have lifelong relationships with individuals.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think you said it all when you said we have to figure out how, when we get there, how are we going to serve that person? How are we serving the people there? And that changes the whole mindset of how you approach individuals, how you start building the relationship. I love the way that you put that. Once, like you said, once we figure out how we're going to serve that person instead of making it a one transaction deal and trying
mm-hmm,
to get that
mm-hmm.
one transaction out of them, it really does change the mindset.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. Okay, so that's the relationship part, building the relationship, and that's networking versus relationship. Now, I guess we got to get into, I hope you all are ready for the surgery because I can just envision you over there right now with scalpel in hand, getting ready to discuss mindsets because mindset is really the biggest part of how you're going to make your business successful. And I happen to know personally that when you have different things going on in your life, whether you're launching while working or you've experienced a tragedy or, you know, whatever it is that's going on in our lives every single day, our mindset is the thing that's going to push us over and continue to make us, you know, or push towards success.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Let's get into it. I need some armor, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it without anesthesia, the whole thing.
You can take it. You can take it. You can handle it. You can handle it. Because what we know,
I feel like
this
I need James Brown, a brow pat down with a cape and everything or something.
Too funny. This is what we know. This is what we know about mindset. You know, it's been proven time and time and time again that your mindset really will either propel you forward or keep you back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't deal with your mindset and really renewing it on a regular, consistent, daily basis, the whole idea of marketing, branding, and networking won't matter. It will not matter. Because your mindset won't allow you to get any further than, you know, your front door or your mindset won't allow you to get any further than making one or two sales. I mean, you know, if you're not daily renewing your mindset, really dealing with how you think about who you are and how you serve in the world, if you're not renewing that on a regular daily basis, you know, affirming who you are, declaring who you are and how you serve in the universe or how you serve in the world, rather, then all the tactics, all the techniques, all the ideas, all that won't really matter, because you're going to think, well, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Nobody's going to buy my product. Nobody's going to buy my service. Nobody's going to show up for my event. Nobody's going to sign up for my program. So then you already shut down all possibility, because there's, you know, I always talk about this little thing that sits on your shoulder and tells you what you can't do, and it talks to the little thing in your head that tells you what you can't do. Mm-hmm. They have a conversation like you're not even there, and you live your life and function based on a conversation that these two little things are having about you.
So in essence, your thought life is so important.
It's very important, because how you think, I call it a head, heart, hand connection, because how you think in your head, you know, and how you receive that in your heart determines what your hands do. You know, and if all of that stuff is not in alignment and you're not daily saying, you know what, I can do this. I can do this. Yes, I might only start with one or two people that are interested, but if I stay consistent, if I stay committed, if I keep moving forward, yes, okay, five people told me no, but maybe those five no's are the end of my no's, and now I'm coming into my yeses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to talk to yourself. You have to really transform your thinking daily. You have to deal with your ego.
Because
it's your ego that's really telling you, oh, no, you don't want to jump out there and do that, because people aren't going to receive you, because your ego's job and role is to protect you.
Ego is a totally whole other one-hour show.
It is.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And we give in to our egos. We let our egos run wild, you know.
Rough shot.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
I know.
We let our egos do that. There's a commercial. I mean, there's not a commercial. There was a show I was watching, and I wrote an article or a blog post on my blog about my ego has a big mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared about that, and anybody that's ever heard me knows that I don't talk about anything that I've just read about or learned about. I talk about stuff that I know about, that I've walked through myself personally, and I've walked through that ego thing, and it ain't pretty and it ain't cute, especially when you get to the realization that your ego puts you in positions where you think you're something and you're not.
Wow. I am cracking up over here, because I can just imagine – my next accountability partners meeting. I have friends. We hold each other accountable for mm-hmm. our businesses and the things that we're supposed to be doing. These are the ones that really try to pull me out of the house. and when I'm sure they're going to listen to the show too. When they hear this part, we are going to have such a conversation about just mm-hmm. that one point, about the ego and what the ego will do to you.
Yes, it will have you jacked up. I used to be a flight attendant. I did it for a year. It was one of my dreams, and I always wanted to do it. So I did it. I did it for a year. And I had a flight with a passenger. He was first class. And I did the regional planes. Regional planes only sit 50 people. There's only one restroom. It's in the back of the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
So he got up to use the restroom. I was getting ready to do service. Well, my ego would not let him go back to his seat until I was finished.
Oh.
Right.
Okay.
Because as far as I was concerned, as far as I was the authority in that cabin, and the fasten seatbelt sign was still on, and you shouldn't have got up in the first place.
Mm. All right.
Right.
So we, again, that's a whole other show. Because
exactly.
we can talk about so many different situations that we don't realize.
Absolutely.
We've pulled our ego into, and instead of really being concerned about the outcome of a situation, we're
yes.
more concerned about
yes.
how we are looking,
exactly.
how we appear in a situation.
Exactly. But that's a part of the whole mindset piece, and how, you know, if you don't pay attention to certain things, they can cause you a problem as an entrepreneur. I tell people, if you have not dealt with any unforgiveness in your heart, you need to deal with it. If you haven't dealt with why you're angry, why you're bitter, why you don't like somebody that's doing the same thing you're doing, if you haven't dealt with that stuff, being an entrepreneur, it will show up. It will come out.
Right.
And it will cause your business to not look so well and not do so well. And people sense that kind of stuff. People sense when you aren't very serious about serving, when what you're really concerned about is how you're going to make a quick dollar and move on to the next person. People know.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to deal with those mindset issues. You have to deal with those heart issues. You have to.
Right. Well, Tribers,
are dependent on it.
Tribers, are y'all on the couch or the operating table? I don't know which one you're on, but I know when we're done with this show that you guys are going to be okay, just like I'm going to be okay. Cheryl is putting it down right now on Tribal Wisdom, and we're talking about wisdom here. I don't even know. I mean, you're pulling so many things right out of the Bible for me. I don't know about anybody else, but a lot of stuff, when you're talking about renewing your mind, when you're talking about the way that you're supposed to be a giver, a cheerful giver at that,
yes.
and so much more, it's not something that we hadn't heard before, but it is something that we need to consistently, I guess, learn, not just hear, but learn and take in.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
so that we're
the way to know that you learned something is that you're living it.
Right, absolutely.
You know? So, yes, we hear a lot of this all the time, but are you really living it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you really, you know, every day declaring who you are? And you talked about biblical principle and reference, and that's where it all comes from. That's where
success
principles come from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
well,
you know, are you declaring those things?
Okay. All right, so when we talked about the ego part of the mindset very briefly, we said we were going to touch on fear a little bit.
Mm.
Fear and feeling unworthy, stopping you from really pushing your business forward. How, you know, what is the other side of that? You know, when we talk about a color wheel, we always say, you know, there's something that will neutralize that color that you put out there. So when it comes to the mindset of fear and unworthiness, what is on the other side of that to neutralize that and then actually bring it to full color, the color that you want it to be?
Well, you know, in terms of fear, the truth, and here's the truth about fear, you really have to clearly identify what it is you're really afraid of. It's not enough to just say you're afraid. You know, I've walked through this myself. I've worked with clients and walked through this with them, because really just saying, oh, you know, we're fearful, that's only part of the story. The other part is figuring out exactly, okay, why are you afraid?
Mm-hmm.
And getting to the root and the crux of that. Because the only way you're really, I believe that you're really going to push through it is if you know what it is. So it's like, okay, pushing past the fear. Well, pushing past the fear is really figuring out what you're afraid of. You know, what I had to figure out I was afraid of, I figured out I was afraid of being really successful, of succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Why was I afraid of that? Because I knew that the level of success that I want to attain is going to change my daily life.
That is very true right there. I think that a lot of us are not connecting that with the feeling of fear.
Yes.
We just think that this is just the way I am, or this is not something that I can change. This is the situation that I am in right now, so I have to take it as it is until I get to a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, well, my deepest fear is that the thing that I'm stepping into is really going to change my life and that I have no control over that part. But when you finally accept it, you realize you do have the control to create the life that you want.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But there's this fear there. There's this fear of what are those around, the people around me, or, you know, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? Are they going to think I'm getting new, getting different? You know, all the stuff that runs through our minds, and then we step back and go, oh, I don't know. And the uncertainty of all of that is where the fear comes in. It's like, well, I don't know how people are going to receive me. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know how my life is going to change on a day-to-day basis. It's like, I don't know. So
yeah.
Because I don't know those things, instead of me stepping out full, serving, in such in a big and dynamic way, I'm only going to do it part of the way.
Right.
That way it won't shed so much light and I won't become so successful that my life will change dramatically.
Right. And then, and even if people so-called fail, because it's really not failure, but if you fail, you're almost comfortable with it because you expected it before somebody else did, before your so-called critics expected it.
Oh, absolutely. But, a failure is a part of the process.
Right.
And if we embrace it as part of the process, it's like, okay, maybe it's not really failure. People always talk about, you win or lose. I say, no, you win or learn.
Mm-hmm.
You win or learn. It's not a loss. It's just an opportunity to learn what not to do.
Right. Right. All right. So I think the most popular one is the procrastinating perfectionist. And I am guilty. I didn't think about procrastination, but I know that I can be a perfectionist, so I won't put things. I work really hard to try to put something out, and then I'll pull it back and go, no, it's just not quite perfect.
Yes, exactly. We sabotage our own stuff by doing that. I told you, I had told you yesterday, I am a procrastinating perfectionist. I'm a recovering one, I'll say that anyway, because I don't do it. I used to be really bad. I used to be really, really, really bad. I mean, really bad, and it's like, now I'm like, okay, I'm like, Cheryl, it's okay. It is good enough. It is fine, and I put something out there and it, people grab to it, they don't trip off of it, like I do. Like I'm going, oh, Lord, look at that. That's not right. That's not lined up that way. That's too far to the left, too far to the right, and all those kinds of things. And we let those little things like that sabotage our progress.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of us putting our information out there, putting our stuff out there, if you will, we're waiting for the perfect time. We're waiting for the perfect moment. We're waiting for it to be perfect, and perfect never comes. So we wind up procrastinating, and then the time has passed, and now we're on to something different, and we've missed an opportunity.
Right, right. Believe it or not, this hour has flown by. I know we're not going to stop. I figured we wouldn't. And then, of course, once you pulled out the scaffold, I was like, okay, forget it. I'm in. So although we have like about 7-8 minutes left to the show, clearly we're going to continue. So for all of you who are listening by the internet and you would like to continue listening to the show after the hour ends, please call in. The number again, 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have a question or if you just like to make a comment to this powerful, fabulous woman. If not, you can always listen to the show in the archives at a later date, but I just want to make sure that I gave you guys this option because I got fussed out before for not saying it more than once during the show. And they was like, well, why didn't you tell us? I'm like, I did, but, now you guys cannot say that I did not say that within another 6 to 7 minutes, you will not be able to hear the show if you are listening by computer. So pick up your phone, pick up your cell phone, whatever it is, give us a call, and you can just listen in. Let's continue with the procrastinating perfectionist.
Yeah, it's just that we procrastinate ourselves, we perfect ourselves into procrastinating to the point where then we just don't move forward. Again, we don't get it done, and we miss an opportunity. And some of that procrastination really comes out of fear as well. And it's also attached to our ego.
Right.
And these are, I always have this theory about going down 3 levels deeper, because usually what's on the surface is not what actually is. It's what's beneath the surface that's feeding and driving your behavior and our behavior and how we do or don't do. So when we talk about procrastination, it's always attached to something else. It's a byproduct of, and it's a byproduct of fear, you know.
Yes.
And then again, you got to get down to that. Okay, what are you afraid of? Why are you afraid? You know. So yes, I'm a procrastinating perfectionist, but that's because I'm a perfectionist because I'm afraid that if I put something out there and it's not going to receive, and then my ego is going to be dinged. It's all connected.
Right.
It's all connected.
I so connect with what you're saying because I know, you know, when I was growing up, someone very special to me explained it this way and said, listen, there are only two reasons in the world that people ever make a decision. One is fear and one is love. And everything is a byproduct of love or fear. There's
love
no
or fear.
Right. There is no other reason in the world that anyone ever makes a decision. So if you go through your daily life and you look at the decisions that you make, if you really kind of slow things down, you will be able to identify if you made a decision out of fear or if you made a decision out of love. And if you find that your decisions are more fear-based, it's time to take action to make them more love-based and watch how your life changes.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's very good because that is very true. It's very true. You know,
so,
go ahead.
No. I was going to say let's continue on mindsets because we just touched on fear and unworthiness and the procrastinating perfectionist and how we procrastinate because we feel like our ego will get dinged because you don't receive, the accolades or the reception that you expected when you worked so hard on this project and you put it out and, you know, it's not what you expected.
Right. It's not what you expect. But, you know, to bring the conversation full circle, it might not be that. What it might be is your marketing's not right.
Okay. As simple as that.
Or your branding's not right. Your messaging's not right. So if you want to bring it full, just bring it full circle. You know, that's how it's all of this is connected. You know, we're sometimes looking at it as, you know, there's something wrong with me, but there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your product. There's nothing wrong with what you're offering. Maybe the way you're presenting it, on a plate and it needs to be on a silver platter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
You're presenting it without a bowl and maybe it needs a bowl, that kind of thing.
It's so true. Again, my accountability partners we wrestle. You know, I'm so grateful for them. we wrestle all the time because for me, when it came time to really, you know, do Bridal Tribe and take care of putting this magazine out there, in my mind, the timeline was more important than, you know, a few areas not looking as right as they should. And I just went, I was like, yes, but I promised to get it out at this time, so I really just have to push it out. And my partners will come back and say, you know what, sometimes you just have to stop everything. You know, who cares about what you promised, you know, the date that you promised it. I would prefer that you stop it, pull it back, take a step back, look at the pieces again, get all the pieces in order so that when you do present it the next time, nobody's going to care that you didn't get it out on that day. They're going to see, you know, how fabulous it is, and they're going to want to know more about it. So I know personally that it is sometimes really hard to I know I'm more concerned about coming out on the promised date than I am about really having every single piece as good as it could be. And that becomes, you know, it becomes an area of stress.
Yes.
So I've...
Because I'm the other way around. I am, it has to look exactly the way I need it to look or I will move that date. My husband always tells me, he's like, the date seems like, okay, you might have to see it. He talks about sliding the date to the left. I'm like, I slide that date to the left.
You have a date lever. You have a date pendulum and a date lever.
Yes, I do. And it slides. That lever will slide, right? Because I was, you know, been working on my book and releasing my book and everything. I think I've changed my cover 3 times. You know, it's like I don't like it. It's not resonating with me. It's just not there yet. And I kept sliding my date, even though my official date is in June, so I'm still good, but I was going to do some pre-launch things. So far, I slid it to the right again. till April 1st.
No, I can't wait for this book to come out. You definitely have to let me know so that I can let the listeners know. And you have to come back on the show when you launch the book, when the book comes out.
Absolutely.
Please do. Please do. You are so very welcome.
It would be my pleasure.
Come back on the show. You know, just in the conversation, I want to ask you about something that I just said. I kind of just realized that I said it myself. How important is it for you to really identify the accountability partners in your life and to be open to listening to them? Because, you know, procrastinating perfectionists, fear, unworthiness, and every other mindset, I'm thinking that we still need to have that person that we can bounce something off of, that we trust. That we
absolutely
can bounce something off of. What, you know, let's touch on that just a little bit.
You know, in terms of having people around, so you should surround yourself with people that are going to hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Surround yourself, you know, with people that they're not necessarily yes people, and they're not going to agree with everything just because. Mm-hmm. They're going to give you good feedback, and they're going to have your best interest. And that's really important, that they really do have your best interest, and that you can go to them, you can talk to them, and that you won't be judged. This is the reason why a lot of people don't share and don't seek counsel, is because they're typically afraid or don't want to be judged. I don't care how good an idea is. I don't care how bad an idea is. People don't want to be judged. They just want you to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about an accountability person and having someone in your corner that you can be accountable to, that those are some of the things you want. You don't want them to be judgmental, but you do want them to be honest, you know, with their feedback. You do want them to have your best interest. You know, you do want them to be as unbiased as they possibly can. Sometimes in terms of your accountability, it's not really good to have really close friends. Sometimes it's good to have somebody maybe that is a mentor, someone that you highly admire, that's doing what you're doing at a much higher level than what you're doing it, and you be accountable to them because they understand, they get it. Sometimes we go and we want our, you know, our best buds to be our accountability partner, and that doesn't
right.
always work out too well.
Right, because they're,
you know, all they got to do is they say one wrong thing, and you're puffing and puffing, and you don't want to hear what they got to say, and now y'all got this riff, and you know what I mean? You understand,
right.
You laugh, it's like you get it.
Well, no. See, the thing, one thing that I actually love about my friends is they were the first one who taught me how to kind of just take that kind of constructive criticism, I like to say.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been mm-hmm. able to take it from anybody else. So if I was messing up, they told me, you know, I was messing
mm-hmm.
up. But
mm-hmm.
they would also tell me with love. They said, listen, I wouldn't tell you if I didn't love you, if I didn't care about, you know, what you're doing. And because we know you so well, we know that you want to put out something that of quality. My friends will tell you
right.
that. My key word, it's got to be quality. It's got to, when they look at it, when they mm-hmm. think about me, the first word that should come to mind is a quality product. So,
right.
I'm glad that I'm not in that case where I don't trust my friends that are close to me because there would never be a rift. They wouldn't even
mm-hmm.
allow it, you know, because we're family. So it's not even allowed. You could be upset for about 2 days. Look, I'm gonna give you the next 10 minutes to be upset, and then we need to go get some ice
exactly.
cream or something, you know. So.
Exactly. I mean, and there are some people that have that in their lives. They can do that with people that are very close to them. And then there's some people, you know, I recommend, you know, maybe get, you know, someone that you're not very close with in terms of, you know, family or really close best friends or anything like that. And I mean, my best friend of 17 years, I worked with her very hard to try to get her to see some things and understand some things. And because we were so close, she would flat out tell me, you know, I don't feel like dealing with myself today. I don't feel like talking about myself today. I don't wanna, you know, that kind of thing. And to keep from, you know, having any kind of rift or anything, I'd back off. I'd leave her alone.
Right.
You know. So,
right.
yeah. Yeah, but accountability, it's very important. It's very key. It keeps you on task. I mean, it's for my book, people that know me know that I have, a 1,000 ideas a minute, And in order for me to stay on task for my book, I had people that I was accountable to, my husband being one of them. My husband is a tough taskmaster, you know, and it's like, I don't want to tell him, look in his face too many times and tell him this book ain't finished, you know,
right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
He actually, and it's funny you say that, because he actually is one of my accountability partners, mm-hmm. but he knows how to remove the emotion from it.
Right.
And that's what makes him so good.
Yes.
He removes
yes.
the emotion. He's like, yeah, I love you, honey, but... This
exactly.
is what you said you were going to do, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the things that I've learned with the people that I have around me who hold me accountable is they have to say, I love you after, but. They can't say, I love you, but you're, you know? They have to give me the hard news up front and then say, but I love you. Because you know, some psychologists say that we always remember the last couple of things that a person
yes,
says.
Yes,
we don't remember the first things. So
yes, and that's very true. And my husband,
yes.
he doesn't say, what he'll do is he'll say everything he needs to say, and then, you know, I'll huff and puff or do whatever I'm going to do or receive it or whatever it is, and then he'll just look and go, I love you.
Right.
You know, and I go, you know, it's like, I love you too.
You're mad about it. You don't even say, you're like, yeah, I love you. Just leave me alone for a minute.
Right.
All the stuff that you just did to me.
Exactly.
Well, I cannot tell you what a pleasure, what a surprising, unexpected pleasure. I did expect you to be as powerful as you were. I just didn't expect to be as affected as I am by all the information that you shared with us on this show. It really was life-changing, and I can't wait to hear from the tribers out there about what they thought of the show, what they think of the show. Please do, if you are listening to the show, if you listen to the archives, hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, even on Pinterest, because I have to start putting more stuff up on Pinterest. But Cheryl, tell us where you can be found on all the social networking areas.
I can be found on all the social media networks. I am on Facebook, and my page is Cheryl A. Pullins. I am on Twitter at iCoachWomen. I am on LinkedIn under my name. I am on Pinterest under my name. I think it's C.A. Pullins on Pinterest. I'm on Instagram under Cheryl A. Pullins. I'm on all of them. I use them for varying things. There's also my website. My website is iCoachWomen.com. You can go there. You can sign up for my freebie on the site there. You get an email from me every week. It's called Empower Mail, and it's me empowering you on a weekly basis, coming into your inbox and sharing with you. And we could talk about anything from, I don't know, it could be anything around mindset, marketing, branding, any of those things. Mm-hmm. You get to learn about some of the events I have coming up. Tomorrow night I have an event coming up. You'll hear more. I'm launching a coaching program called Gap Coaching, and if you go to coachwithcheryl.com, you can find out about that. It's a very inexpensive way to coach with me, and I'm very excited about it because it allows me to deliver and speak into the lives of people that I know that need help and need coaching but can't afford to pay $400, $500, $600 a month for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about that program, and you'll learn about the book. So those are all the places you can find me.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think you also have a couple of free webinars.
A couple free webinars.
Is that true? Did I see that? Or
I don't have any scheduled right now. Actually, last year I was doing free webinars.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing free webinars. Let me say it this way. I don't have any scheduled free webinars. But I do have some plans about doing some around the time the release of the book.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, free or not, people who, if you're listening, this is an investment that you definitely should make in your life. For clear reasons, I don't even have to tell you why, because you listen to the show. So I don't have to tell you,
and you
why.
Know, mm-hmm. You know, Cynthia, the Gap Coaching Program is virtually free. It's $5 to start, and they are webinars. They're interactive webinars where I actually coach people right there live in real time. So that's
less
virtually
than a
free.
Deal. Y'all need to jump on this. $5, she said. Some are $5, maybe more, I don't know, but that's less than a meal. And if you can invest in really feeding your entrepreneurial spirit, then you really need to rethink this whole thing. Again, Cheryl, I'm so glad to have you on. I'm actually going to end the show today by reading this quote by Marianne Williamson because it just it's so pertinent. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Travers, it was so wonderful to be with you today on Tribal Wisdom. It was so wonderful to have Cheryl A. Pullins on. Please, please follow her blog, find her on Facebook, find her on Twitter, find her. Do it for yourself a favor and find her. This has been 1 hour or more, I should say, with Tribal Wisdom of Bridal Tribe. You know that we're a company about love, beauty, fun, weddings, and marriage. And welcome, welcome to our Women's History Month. Next week, we conclude with a session with a Rita story talking about the importance of mentoring women. We are so glad to have you once again. We are devoted to love, and you guys have a good night.